many blessings to us this morning, for his faithfulness to us. I know the Lord has just, he's done so much for us, hasn't he? I'd like to write something on the board, and it will apply to all of us. In my situation, does anybody have a situation this morning? Might be not want to acknowledge it, but we all have a situation this morning. Have you ever had someone say, well, you just don't understand my situation, as if it is the most unique thing in the world? We all have a situation. You know, situations don't have to be negative. Do you realize that? We can have good, positive situations. But a lot of times when people talk about in my situation, there is an inference of something difficult, something not real pleasant. It might be a financial situation. I've got a financial situation. It might be a physical situation. Struggling, I'm not well, I'm sick, I'm not doing good. It might be a relationship. People that are in marriages that are struggling, they might say, we have a situation. In other words, things aren't real good on the home front. It might be a spiritual situation. There might be a trial or a battle that you're in that you're really struggling spiritually and you think, I have a situation. So I would just ask us in the Lord this morning, do you have a situation? I will preface the message with this morning, that I have been taking my part. And the message in no way is meant to be cavalier or unfeeling about my situation or your situation. Because there are things that touch our life that bring a lot of heartache and a lot of grief. There are things that people struggle with in life. But I also acknowledge that I have watched people go through a situation and I've seen them being overtaken by the situation. I've seen them controlled by the situation. And then I've watched others go through very similar situations and I've seen the peace of God in their life. I've seen them have victory. I've seen them be joyful. And I thought, what is the difference? Because they both had a situation. Let me exemplify it this way. And again, we're not minimizing financial or physical or spiritual or marriage situations. They're real. And when you go through a difficult time, it's something that you can struggle with. And it's not always something someone can just come along and say, just buck up. So, oh, well, you should have told me that last week. Okay, I'll buck up. It's something that we do have situations we have to work through. But when I was a boy, I remember we had a number of some widows in the congregation. Elderly women that had lost their husbands. I remember one sister, and I mean no disparagement on her, but I can use her for an example, I guess. She was actually my Sunday school teacher as a child. But as she got older, she could be a little bit grumpy, and she complained. You could hear her even in service sometimes murmuring. And she was kind of complaining and not always the most positive outlook, and I believe she was saved and loved the Lord and she was a good woman. But yet there was something, I remember her getting up on multiple times when it's time to testimony, and talk about how difficult it was to be a widow. And how lonely she was. And again, those things are real. And there's nothing wrong with talking about those things sometimes. Don't misunderstand me. But she had allowed her situation to control her year after year after year. And right after she would testify, there was another even older sister who I think maybe sometimes got up right afterward as a balance. And she got up and she testified how she had been a widow for many years and the Lord had been a husband to her. The Lord had been her provider. The Lord had been good to her. And I thought, what was the difference? Because it is true that death brings heartache. It is true that to live life alone, especially as a mother or a father, There are challenges there and struggles that can weigh on the emotions. And I have no stones to throw for people that go through emotional struggles this morning. I've been there. But I also recognize when I look at those sisters, I thought, what was the difference? One of them, in the same circumstance, rose above her circumstances and found a place of thanksgiving. The message this morning is first cousin to Brother Randy's Sunday school lesson last Sunday morning, or two Sundays ago. But I want us to know that we can approach my situation either with a spirit of negativity, or we can approach our difficult situations of life and find a place in the Lord to still give Him thanks. There is a difference. Brother Austin used to tell us about a man. He came in, he said, "How are you doing?" The man said, "Well, I'm all right under the circumstances." "How are you doing this morning?" He said, "Well, I'm not doing very good under the circumstances." This man's response was, "I'm doing all right under the circumstances." And Brother Austin's question was, "Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? What are you doing? We're going to have circumstances. We're going to have situations that will test us to our very limits. But in those times, I want to encourage us in the Lord this morning to find a place of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for who and what He is. I may be in a battle and life may be dark around me, but Lord, help me to find a place to still give You thanks even in my situation. Because life is full of challenges. People's lives are full of difficulty. But the difference is in those that found a place of faith in God and those that found a place to trust in the Lord and have thanksgiving in the middle of the storms that life brings. We look at our country, and I know it doesn't, regardless of what side of the political aisle you sit on, our country and our world is in trouble. Our world is in trouble. But there's a scripture in Hebrews 12. We can talk about, well, our political situation, or our world events, or all of these things. But this is what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. He said, "Whereby we receiving a kingdom which cannot be removed, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." We have a kingdom that cannot be removed. You know, kingdoms come and go. Political situations change. Our world, it doesn't, again, it's full of many evil leaders on all kinds of the, across the political spectrum. But the scripture says we have a kingdom that cannot be removed. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Some of the other translations bear out that word grace. It means with thanks or graciousness. We're citizens of another country. Yes, we're Americans here. Yes, we're from a certain whatever country we're from. But the reality is we're children of God. And that means that when the world changes and the tides shift and the climate is one way and then another way, we can still serve God with thanksgiving, with grace. Serving God acceptably because we are part of a kingdom that cannot be removed. So if you listen to the news too much, you may just go away. I don't care whether it's CBS or Fox. Take your pick. But you can listen to the news and just shake your head and say, we've got a situation. But I want to tell you what. We have a kingdom that cannot be removed this morning. And we can still serve God with thanksgiving that when things are dark around us, we can say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a child of God and I've got a bright hope ahead of me. So in your specific situations, can we find a place of thanksgiving? Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing and in everything do what? give thanks. In everything, what that means is in my situation. And again, the first thought that may come is, Brother Michael, you don't know how bad my situation is. In every situation, give God thanks. Now, it's easier to preach this message than it is to live it. You know how I know? Because I was up till about 1:30 last night, woke up at 5-something, didn't get a lot of sleep, with something on my mind. Sat in the living room last night, and I won't go into detail, but my heart was very heavy. And the Lord brought this message that I was supposed to preach this morning. All right, Lord. See, it's easier to preach it than it is to live it. But I want you to know that in every situation, I look, okay, Lord, in some different situations were on my heart, my mind. I was like, Lord, help me to find that place of thanksgiving here then. Help me to look for good. Help me to look for something that I can say, I'm thankful and give thanks because this is the will of God concerning, do you remember who it says? It says, this is the will of God concerning you. But my situation, yes, in your situation, this is God's will that we give thanks in everything, which means that when we are in difficult times, that even when the tears are running down our cheeks and we are sad and we are in grief and we are in pain, we can still in everything give God thanks. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done without boundaries, without exceptions in everything. Give thanks. So do we thank him for tragedy? Sometimes we should. Do we thank him for evil that has touched lives, that has brought grief? We don't thank God for evil. But we recognize that in the midst of trouble and the things that touch our lives, I can give him thanks. So when I have been affected, you know, when you lose a loved one, there's grief, isn't there? But we don't grieve as those that have no hope. We'll still cry. We can still be lonely. And my heart goes out to those that are lonely during this season of time. The holidays are some of the loneliest times. The suicide rate goes up around Thanksgiving and Christmas because people are tuning in to their loneliness and it seems like I'm by myself and nobody may care. It's a wonderful time to reach out to the widows and widowers, folks. It's a good time to reach out to the orphans. It's a good time to reach out to people that maybe they're hurting. And the Lord is touched by that. But even in those places, I've watched the widows. And I've seen some find a place of giving God thanks and some not. And I'll tell you, it made a life difference for them. Because they said, we thank God he's been faithful to me. It's been difficult, but the Lord has been there. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Everything that touches our life. God can, one of the songs says, he can sanctify to us the deepest distress. It doesn't mean that we don't have distresses in life, but it means that in the distress, we can find a place of thanksgiving. 200 years ago, in 1820, so exactly 200 years ago, there was a little girl that was born in New York, and she was sick, and the family doctor was away. And so they called another supposed doctor to come in to take care of this little newborn little girl. And unbeknownst to the family, the man was just pretending to be a certified doctor. He was actually a quack. And she had some kind of an illness. And so the man didn't know what he was doing and the family didn't recognize it at the time. But one of the things he prescribed was to put hot mustard poultice over this little girl's eyes. Well, eventually the little girl got better from the illness that she had. But because they put that hot mustard on her eyes, she became blind. She was able to see for the first 6 weeks of life. And after that, she lost her vision because of a quack doctor, someone that really wasn't certified. She lost her eyesight, and just a few months later, her father died. And this little girl's mother had to hire out as a maid to try to make money to raise her family. And so the little girl was actually ended up being primarily raised by her grandmother, who was a Christian woman. At the age of 8, this blind little girl wrote a poem. And this is what she said. "Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." In my situation, can we not be challenged by this little blind girl? This little girl was very gifted. She memorized 5 chapters out of the Bible every week. So as she grew older, she could recite all of the Gospels. She could recite Proverbs. She could recite by heart the book of Moses. She could, and then many other passages of Scripture as well. When she was 15, she was taken to the New York Institute for the Blind, and she was a student there for 12 years. She taught for 11 years as a teacher after that time. She played the harp, the guitar, and the piano. But chiefly, this young woman wrote hymns. And many of you know where this is headed. She wrote hymns. She wrote a song called "Blessed Assurance." "Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of heaven divine." She was under contract with a publisher that she had to submit 3 hymns every week. But oftentimes she would write 6 or 7 a day. Her name was Frances Crosby, known as Fanny Crosby. She wrote over 9,000 hymns in her lifetime. One day a musician stopped by her home and asked her to put words to a tune that he'd written. And he told her, he said, "I want this for a convention that I'm going to. But the problem is my train leaves in 35 minutes. But I'd like to play this song." He had this tune in his head, but he didn't have any words to it. So he sat down at the piano and he played this melody that was on his heart. And Fanny sat there and listened to it. And she said, that tune, it sang "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." "Just a minute here." And she pulled out a pen and she scribbled. She scribbled out the words and she gave it to him. She said, "Hurry and get in so you can get your train." And she said, "Get on your train and read it on the train so you don't want to be late." We sing that song frequently, don't we? "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." She wrote that in less than 35 minutes. Became one of her most famous songs. There was a minister that told her one time, he said, "I think it's a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showered you with so many other gifts." Sounds like a meaning statement, doesn't it? Her response was this: "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind? Because that means when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." Now, what is your situation this morning? What is your situation? In everything, give thanks. The Lord can take those difficulties and turn it around and make it a blessing. Because of this, Romans 8:28, and we know that what? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And then it goes on to say, so shall tribulation, shall distress, shall nakedness, shall peril, shall sword, shall any of those things separate us from the love of God? Now we're talking about situations, aren't we? Nakedness, peril, sword, persecution, famine. is that that's a situation and it brings heartache. But is it going to separate us from the love of God? No, in all these things we're what? More than conquerors. So this morning, I know we have my situation. But in my situation, may I lift up my heart and start giving God thanks. Will it not change how I face the day? Because now I'm not just dwelling on my situation. Yes, it's still there, but I'm going to approach my situation with a heart of thanksgiving to God. And you know, that has a way of changing our perspectives, even of our situation. Victory. We are not exempt this morning from the difficulties, but we have a choice how we respond to it. We have a choice to make. We can either get down under it or we can rise above it with a spirit of thanksgiving. It's your choice this morning. You have the power to choose to be thankful. Or you have the power, and I'm saying we, all right? It's not this you, it's more here. We have the power to start looking at the positive even during the distressful things of life. We live in a world that is, I won't offend anybody. And you know, I was thinking this week, I thought, you know, it ought to be a blessing to the congregation that there are people that are tuning in and listening to the services, because the Lord might send a message that isn't for anyone here and it's for someone listening. So if you're thinking, oh, well, Brother Michael, what are you trying to get to? Maybe the Lord's just getting it to someone that's going to listen later. So here we're at, though, is that we live in a society that everyone's a victim. Do you know we live in a society that it's like we're victims? My situation. I'm a victim because of where I was born. I'm a victim because how I was born. I'm a victim of how you treated me. I'm a victim of what they did to me. I'm a victim of what happened on my job. I'm a victim of how you treated my grandparents. And we're victims. That's not what the scripture teaches. Jesus teaches us to rise above the victimhood, the heartaches of life, and find a place of thanks and praise to God. Joseph was a victim. Joseph was enslaved. Joseph was betrayed by his family. Joseph was falsely accused. Joseph was put in prison. Do you want to talk about your situation now? Do we want to talk about our situation? Why there is a reason why I can have no joy? And again, I know sometimes it takes a while to find that place of joy. It takes a while to get there. But that ought to be our goal. If I'm not there and I'm sad and I'm grieving. Though Jesus wept. Jesus was moved with compassion. He understands the emotional needs that we have. But there is a place that even in those distresses, He wants to come and say, now find a place of thanksgiving. Find a place to not allow the difficulties to control your spirit, but allow your spirit to rise up by the grace of God and have thanks for what the Lord has done and been in your life. That's what made Joseph a king among kings, if I can call him a king. Pharaohs among pharaohs. I know he was second in the land. But it was because he chose to face life, not saying I'm a victim, but he chose to give God thanks and keep his faith fixed in the Lord. I know it's tough and it's not fair, but folks, young people, here's a real good life lesson for you. Life isn't fair. So what are you going to do about it? Lord, help me then to find a place of thanksgiving that will transform how we begin to approach our problems. Well, we can talk a lot about different situations, but I want to say, if you feel like you're a victim this morning, you may be. My heart goes out to people that have suffered some horrible things. But you know what I've observed and found? That there are victims that have found the grace of God to be effective in their life. And they found a place of thanksgiving in acknowledging that I have a God who is bigger than my situation. I've watched people go through horrible marriage difficulties See, now we're talking about relationships in my situation. Living with someone that just doesn't treat you right day in and day out, and or just living with a problem. There are so many testimonies of people that have been in those situations that found a place of thanksgiving. And you know, that spirit of joy and thankfulness had a way of reaching out through the years. And many times it changed their companion and brought them to Christ. So we all have situations. But there is power in thanksgiving this morning. There is power in finding a place of praise to the Lord rather than letting it control us. It's noteworthy, and I was a little amazed. I looked at it again, and I looked to check the date for this morning. It was the 22nd of November. That's what it is. 147 years ago, today, on November 22nd, in 1873, there was a great tragedy that took place. There was a French ship that was crossing the North Atlantic, and it sank. There was a man that his wife and his four girls were on that ship. And his four girls lost their life. You want to talk about tragedy? You want to talk about a situation? That happened 147 years ago today. Well, when he got the call that he lost his four daughters, and you know the story, he was on a ship headed to meet his wife. And when he got to the place that ship had sank, the captain or those on the ship came and told him, said, this is the place where the ship sank and you lost your daughters. And as you know, that was Horatio Spafford, and he went and he wrote the song, the hymn, It Is Well with My Soul. In time of grief and pain and heartache, he was still able to say and sing, It is well with my soul. You know what the rest of the story is with him? Later, he had a nervous breakdown. That's sad. Do you know, and I will just say this, and this isn't the crux of my message this morning, but people that can get the flu, they can get corona, they can get a cold, they can get sick physically. People can get emotionally sick as well. And they can have nerve issues. And if people that have never experienced that don't understand, say, well, just, like I said, buck up. If you're sick, lying in bed, throwing up, no strength at all, and someone comes along and says, oh, just get up, you know, mind over matter, it's okay. Say, you're ridiculous. I'm sick. I don't have any strength. That's what it's like for people to get emotionally sick and have problems with their nerves. So treat them gently. Treat them with care. Treat them with love. But I will say this, and I speak from personal experience here. I have also found that there is a place when life gets very dark. There is a place to still give God thanks. It will bring you through a lot of dark places. That's our choice this morning. I'd like to conclude with one more verse. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 8. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving. So bring your situation to the Lord. Don't hesitate to just open up and bring your situation to the Lord. But he said to do it with thanksgiving. And I will just say, last night as I sat in my chair, I had a situation on my mind. The Lord had already given me this message. And I was praying, and the Lord came and said, okay, with thanksgiving. It's like, okay, here's the situation over here, and here's just a little challenge, all right? I'm not preaching above what I'm living. I struggle with this one. Here's the situation, okay? And we say, okay, Lord, I'll give you thanks for over here. I'll give you thanks. It was like, okay, bring your request. Let your request be made. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request. Tie your request with some thanksgiving. like I'd rather kind of separate the two. It's a lot easier. Lord, I'll thank you. You've got food on my table. When we start thinking about this, oh Lord, start looking at your situation and find something to thank God for. You think that might make a difference? That was just a personal challenge the Lord gave me last week. Because we talk about bringing our requests to God, and we talk about having Thanksgiving. But how often have we tied them together? Here's a challenge for you. You don't have to take it, but what about in your prayer this week, or at least one of your prayer sessions, making an effort that in every burden you bring to the Lord, you give some thanks dealing with that particular situation. If there's a person that's a trouble in your life, you know what might start making a difference in how you view that person if you're starting to find something to be thankful for about them? I've got a situation. Financially, if you're struggling to find a place, the Lord, I do have food. I haven't gone hungry. Lord, thank you for providing these basic needs for me. And if you don't have those basic needs, I've seen some of the poorest people in the world are some of the happiest. How is that? They found a place of thanksgiving before God. Much more that could be said this morning. Do we get the message? We have it. You might have thought you had it 15 minutes ago. But in my situation, and in your situation, I want to encourage us to find that place, even when the tears are rolling down from the eyes, you can still say, Lord, thank you. It can change marriages. It can change your walk with God. It will change how you view your work. It's like, I just don't want to go to work. Wait a minute. It's that work that enabled me to have food on the table. Lord, thank you for this job. Lord, thank you for this. It will change how we face our situations in life. May the Lord bless us all with a wonderful week of thanksgiving to our Lord.